And I wish I could take credit for coming up with that, but I can't. This is not necessarily a teaching thing as much as it is a thing of celebration. Last week we looked, kind of last week was kind of a teaching thing, but last week we looked at the Old Testament prophecies out of the Jewish Old Testament. And I like to say that, the Jewish Old Testament, the Christian New Testament. Now we embrace both books, but a lot of times we just think that everybody has the same Bible that we do. And they really don't. You know, the Catholics have books in their Bible that we don't have in our Bible. And other religions don't even use our Bible. The Jews do not use the New Testament at all. But we use New Testament and Old Testament. And you know, it says in the book of Hebrews, and this is talking about Jesus, it says, in the volume of the book, it is written of me. And it's not talking about the New Testament. It's talking about the Old Testament. And the central theme of the Old Testament is the coming of the Messiah. And last week we looked at several Old Testament prophecies and their New Testament fulfillment that predicted that the Messiah was coming. And we showed how that Jesus was the fulfillment of that Old Testament prophecy. Today we're going to talk a whole different area. We're going to talk about angels and the angels' role in the birth of the Messiah. Now let's talk a little bit about angels. Most of the time, angels are not named in Scripture. In fact, there are only three angels that are ever named in Scripture. Can anybody tell me what they are? Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer. Lucifer, I thought that was the devil. It is, but he began as an angel. He was the covering cherub. But mostly angels are not called by name. They may have names, but they're not called by names in Scripture. Only Gabriel, Michael, and Lucifer. Now, Lucifer's job was he was kind of the covering cherub, that he was in the presence of God. Michael is the war angel, and Gabriel is the angel who is the messenger of God. Now, angels didn't appear a lot in the Bible. And you know, let me ask you a question. How many angels do you think there are? There are more angels than there are human beings. There's tons and tons and tons of angels. And I think in one place it calls them innumerable. So it's so amazing that we don't talk about angels a lot. But angels are real. Now, angels are created beings. They do not reproduce. You don't ever read of angels having babies, okay? They are created by God. And let me say this just in case, you know, to help you with your theology. When we die, we don't become angels, okay? Now, we may have some angels here. But when you die, you won't become an angel. You're always going to be a human. Angels are not human beings, and human beings are not angels. Angels are created by God, and they carry out the will and the purpose of God. There are angels that all they do is glorify God. All they do is worship God. There's angels who go around the throne. They circle the throne like this. And all they do is worship. That's their job, is they worship. And it's not a mundane job because God's awesome. And we'll talk about how awesome God is sometime. But it's just mind-blowing how awesome God is. But they do several things. And sometimes God sends angels to the aid of human beings. In fact, it says in Hebrews that angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who are heirs of salvation. That is you and I. We have angels, and I don't mean for this to sound super spiritual. And I think only eternity will reveal the scope of the angelic activity in human affairs. There are times in your life that angels have been there and you never knew it. Very, very seldom do you see angels. And you know, sometimes people see angels. And I'm a little bit leery who people who see angels every day. Okay? I'm not too much into the super spiritual stuff. But angels sometimes come into the realm of human beings and they see angels and they deliver messages for God. Now, angels don't do weird stuff. They do what God tells them to do. They would never contradict God. Now, there's a group of them that did, and they got kicked out. Okay? They're no longer in heaven. They got kicked out. But angels do the bidding of God. Angels do the work of God. They're designed and created just for that. And a lot of times, humans are their focus. Because humans are God's focus. And as you read in Scripture, I think there are 260 something instances where angels are referred to. Either we see angelic activity or they're talked about. But there's not that much that has to do with specific instances where angels appear in the affairs of mankind. Now, I believe that they are abundantly active on our behalf, but we rarely, if ever, see them. I think someday, this is an opinion, I think that someday God will probably introduce you to your angels. Won't that be neat? You know, you get to heaven and you get to the throne and Jesus says, oh, by the way, I want to introduce you to your guardian angel. Here's the one that watched over you when you did this or you did that. And I think that will be a part of what eternity is about. And I got a feeling that there's probably going to be more than one angel that has been assigned to each person in the earth. So, with that in mind, and not trying to be super spiritual, we're going to look at some scripture. Because there is a point in human history where angelic activity appeared into the affairs of man. It just exploded almost into the affairs of man. And that was about 2,000 years ago. And we're going to look at several here today, and we're going to look at that. In fact, during Jesus' life, angelic activity was pretty common. In fact, Jesus said to Nathanael, remember when he called Nathanael? You know, he saw Nathanael coming and he says, behold an Israelite in whom is no guile. And Nathanael was amazed at Jesus' insight. He says, you know, Nathanael, you think that's something. From this point forward, you're going to see the heavens open and the angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. So for 30-something years, angelic activity was stepped up in the earth. But it began right before the birth of Jesus Christ. And why wouldn't it be so? What is the eternal purpose of God? It is the redemption of mankind. The very first, the thing that we looked at last week, that began in, well, it didn't begin there, but God first announced it in the Garden of Eden when he says that the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. And God spent 4,000 years prophesying and pouring his word into the earth. Now, God didn't get in a hurry. Have you ever noticed that about God? He doesn't seem to ever get in a hurry. When you're perfect and you always have perfect timing, God doesn't get in a hurry. His plan is precise. He spent 4,000 years pouring his word into the earth, setting the stage for the Messiah to come. And I believe that when that time came, that heaven paid attention. I believe that the angels were excited. You know, angels get excited. Anytime someone comes to faith in Christ, the Bible says that there is rejoicing in the presence of God. And I believe that part of that is the angels. Some of it may be your loved ones who have gone on before. They may be rejoicing too when you come to faith in Christ. But I believe that heaven rejoices when people come to faith in Christ. And the whole focal point of human history took place 2,000 years ago in the birth, the life, the death, and the burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And angelic activity stepped up big time. The first place that we're going to go is into the life of one of the forerunners of Christ. Go with me to Luke chapter 1. I think we do have this on the overhead today, so you can, if you don't have your Bible, follow me there. Verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife, and her name was Elizabeth. Now he was one, he was of the priestly tribe. He was of the priestly tribe, and he was ministering before the Lord in the temple. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Now, one of the things that they would do, they would go into the holy place. The temple had three compartments, and we've studied this before. It was the outer court, it was the holy place, and it was the holy of holies. And one of the things that they did before the veil of the temple on the inside of the Holy of Holies, there was this altar of incense. And they would keep that going day and night. So it was his turn to go right there. He was just on the other side of the curtain from the Ark of the Covenant and the Shekinah glory of God. So he was in a pretty awesome place to be. He was in the holy place. So he's in there, and he's taking care of the incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Now, you know one of the reasons that fear falls on people when they see angels? It's because they don't look like Cupid. They're not little naked fat babies with wings and a bow and arrow. They're honking big dudes. Okay? They're intimidating by their presence. They have an aura about them. But most people who have seen angels will tell you that they're big. Okay? And so he was afraid. Fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is indeed heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." Now, normally they name the firstborn after the father, but the angel said, "His name shall be John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will also go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel. Now, Gabriel is one of the chief angels. God didn't send one lower in rank. He sent his messenger. He sent his personal messenger to deliver this message. It's pretty awesome when you think about it. He says, I'm Gabriel. In fact, there's only just a few times in Scripture that Gabriel appears. We're going to look at another one in a minute. I am Gabriel who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. So Zacharias is struck dumb and he doesn't speak again until they ask him, what shall the child's name be at his dedication? And his tongue was loose and his name is, he shall be John. He shall be John. So here we see an angelic appearance. Now, not long after this, we see the second one. Go with me to Luke chapter 1. And we're going to begin with verse 26. Now, we're just kind of reading Scripture today, and we're thinking about angelic activity and the focus of God and how that this is such a focal point in history. What we call the Christmas season, but not only the Christmas season. And you know, Christmas is still about Jesus. I want to say that again. Christmas is still about Jesus. Even though we've morphed away from that in our society, Christmas is not Merry Xmas or Happy Holidays or any of those other things. And all of that stuff is okay except the Xmas. I don't like that. I got an email the other day inviting me to an Xmas party. And I started to shoot one back and say, I don't attend Xmas parties. But I didn't. I'm not bold enough yet, I guess. But and, you know, and it's not Merry Xmas and Happy Holidays. It's about Jesus. It is about Jesus. And the focus of God during this time and the angels and heaven and the world that we can't see was about this event that's taking place. It is a great event. It's not the greatest event. The greatest event was when he was raised from the dead. But he had to be born, didn't he? Okay. Now, verse 26. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, here he is again, just in a short period of time, he appears to people for the second time, was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. But when she saw him, she was troubled. No, wait a minute. I skipped a verse. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. And behold, then the angel. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. This is the second baby that this angel has named. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I do not know a man? She says, I'm a virgin. I've never known a man. How can this happen? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. And one who is born will be called the Son of God. Now this is a miraculous thing. I want to just pause here and ask this question. How important in our theology as Christians is virgin birth? It's very. When I was a young man studying for ministry in the denomination that I was raised in, I was doing a course of study, and I was talking to a fellow minister. And I said, you know, I'm troubled by some people's theology about the virgin birth. He says, you know what? The virgin birth is not that important. It's the resurrection that is important. Amen. Well, what? And I thought, well, what good is the resurrection if you're just raising a fallen man? The virgin birth is a place where our faith hangs upon. See, Jesus was either God in the flesh or he was just a fallen man, a good fallen man. And if he was just a man, he couldn't redeem us from our sins. So this is very critical. And this was so important that God sent Gabriel to deliver this message to this woman. See, she had a choice in this. She had a free will. She could have rejected and said, no, I don't want any part of this because I'm going to be talked about. My husband-to-be will not understand this, and he didn't. This is going to cause me trouble, and I don't know about all that. She could have rejected, but you know what? She didn't. And what happened in her womb that day has only happened one time, and it was supernatural. Where God, the seed was planted in the heart of man, and it was God in the flesh. Okay, let's read on. Verse 36. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For nothing with God will be impossible. Now I love this verse because this is the important verse. Then Mary said, behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. The moment that she said that, she conceived in her womb. She conceived the Son of God. And this was so important that God sent his main angel to attend to it. Interesting. Okay. Go with me to Matthew. We'll look at the third instance where angelic activity took place. Because this is going to cause Joseph some problems. I mean, you can just imagine. He finds out that his betrothed, you might say wife, because when they were betrothed, they were considered husband and wife, even though it was not consummated until the actual ceremony. So she comes to him and says, guess what? I'm expecting. And you're never going to believe what happened. And he says, yeah. So he decided that she had been unfaithful. And this is verse 18, Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. See, now that just kind of passes all of that over. But we saw the inside on that. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. He was going to divorce her. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you your wife, Mary, for your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife. And he did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So Joseph was going to put her away privately. So the angel of God appeared to him in a dream and says, don't do it. And confirmed the message that Gabriel told Mary when he appeared to her. Good. Okay, we're not through yet. Luke chapter 2, we have another appearance of angels. Angels are so involved in all of this. Angels were excited about it. Luke 2:8, this has to do with the birth of Jesus. You remember, and it shall come to pass in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Okay, you know, and Jesus is born, and he's wrapped in swaddling clothes, and he's lying in a manger. Now, we're going to go with verse 8. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, you know, I ask myself, and I don't have the answer to this, why did God choose shepherds? Why didn't he choose the mayor and the council or the government? Or I don't know. But he chose shepherds. You know, God's not a whole lot into all that anyway. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were greatly afraid. You know why they were afraid? Because those were big honking dudes that they saw. They were intimidating. And the angel said unto them, Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, More angels appeared. The choir appears. It's just like God pulls back the curtain and there's the choir. And they're singing. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So it was that when the angel had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. Again, the angels appear. The angels bear witness to what is taking place in this time period. Now, some time passes. And we see I'm going to pop a bubble real quick. You know, the traditional story that we see is that, you know, we have the shepherds come, and the same night the three wise men come. It didn't happen that way. The wise men didn't come till about 2 years later. I don't know if you knew that or not, but anyway, Jesus is back in Nazareth now. Matthew 2, verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Now, wise men don't mean just smart guys. The Greek word there is translated magi. And what these people were, they were astronomers. Okay? And during that period of time, astrology and astronomy were kind of together. Okay? Now, what's the difference in astrology and astronomy? Astronomy is the study of the heavens, the stars. Astrology says that it's the alignment of the stars that guides our life. And, you know, the Bible forbids Christians to delve into astrology, but astronomy is okay. There's a lot of things in astronomy that in the stars that declare the glory of God. God didn't give us the stars to guide our life. He gave us the Holy Spirit to guide our life. Okay? Astronomy will preach the gospel. And we're going to look at some of that next week when we talk about how the stars played into all of this that's going on. But these were magi. They were astrologers or astronomers. And they had been studying the sky, and they saw his star. Now, that's pretty interesting, but we'll try to develop that later. So we've come to worship him. When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, O Bethlehem, the land of Judah, are not least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people.'" Then Herod, I'm having trouble here, excuse me. Then Herod, who had secretly called the Magi together from them, inquired to what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. When you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." He wasn't going to go to worship him. He was going to kill him. Okay? When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they had come to the house, they saw the young child, and that word means like a toddler, probably 2 years old, with his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasure, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord. Here's another appearance. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother. Flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." And you know what he did? He sent out a decree, and all of the kids from 2 years down, were all the boy children were killed by the king. And because of angelic intervention, Jesus escaped and went to Egypt. So this is another instance where the angels were so active in this. And then there's one more. Then we're going to close. In Luke 2:19. And it says this: "But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, 'Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead.' Then he arose and took the young child and his mother and came to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, says, 'He shall be called a Nazarene.'" Now, this is not the only time that angels were involved in the life of Jesus. In fact, there are other times. After Jesus' temptation, where he fasted 40 days and nights, when that was over, the angels came and ministered to him. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was under intense temptation, the angels came and strengthened him. And when Jesus was raised from the dead, guess what? It was the angels that rolled away the stone. So angels have been active in the life of Christ, but from the time of around his birth, there seems to be great angelic activity. heaven was preparing earth for its Savior. Heaven was preparing earth in God's timing to receive its Savior. And you know what? We need to be willing to receive that Savior. If we've not received that Savior into our lives, we need to be willing to receive that Savior into our lives. Even if we have received that Savior into our lives, we need to fully surrender our lives to that Savior because He has such a divine purpose for us as His people. Let's pray. I'm going to ask the prayer team if they'll come at this time. Really, this has not been a teaching time as much as it has been a focus time and a time of rejoicing around what God thought about Jesus being born into the earth. As we begin to pray, you feel free to come if you have need of prayer for anything. Father, thank you so much today for this time that we celebrate, this time that we call Christmas. The world calls it Xmas and holidays, but we call it Christmas because it is about the Christ. It is about His coming. The angels declared the glory of God in Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that today, Father. I pray that you would minister to your people today, that you would bless the word of their hearts, that you would challenge our lives, that we would fully receive the Christ, that we might bring glory to Him. In Jesus' name, would you come?